Hello, and welcome to Returning to Us, a podcast that gives you strategies and tips for how to hack your brain, build and strengthen relationships, and to teach people how to recognize and neutralize their emotional states. I'll discuss emotional intelligence and regulation, how food and exercise impact the body and brain, and share lessons from my own lived experiences. I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer, the founder of the Behavior Hub, which is an organization that works to reduce the stressors of raising and educating children through a brain and biology-based lens. In these episodes, I'll share stories and strategies from my own life, work, and research, answer listener questions, and wrap it up with a try-at-home tip. Decades worth of information in just minutes. You ready? If there is one thing that I could learn about, deep dive into, talk about, and share with the world for the rest of my life, I think it would be the nervous system. Man, it just fascinates me. It absolutely fascinates me. And I think just because I'm so interested in biology, fun fact, I graduated college, my undergrad, in like a little over 2 years, and an adult degree. And I was one class short of a 4.0. You know which class that was? Biology. You know what's ironic? That today, all my work is grounded in biology. Why did I not get an A in biology? Because I spent all of my time in the black room because I was fascinated with photography. That's what happens when you're 18. Anywho, back on track. Nervous system. Biology. My work is grounded in biology and grounded in like... That's why the podcast is called Returning to Us. It's returning to this like primordial state. It's returning to this like state of origin, the state of being, the state that we kind of grew and developed out of eons ago. I'm so fascinated by like how we were so regulated back then, existing in these like hunter-gatherer tribes and not having all this stimulation and tools and intellect. And I really feel strongly about kind of getting back there. No, not completely back. Like the technology, the intelligence, all that is moving us forward as a society. But I think in some ways, I know based on research that in some ways how we've progressed is detrimental to us. And there are parts of our existence and coming into existence that are really important for our mind, our body, our brain, our system. So trying to teach people about basically biology and the things of it. So let's talk nervous system. I'm going to walk you through the nervous system and I'm going to try and do so in a way that really breaks it down and is really simplified. So I'm going to try not to use a lot of medical jargon. I'm going to try and keep it super simple, like simple enough to be able to explain it potentially to a child. So let's jump right in. Basically, what I want you to know here is the really great visual for this is the window of tolerance. If you search this, you're probably going to get this really amazing image where it's like this yellow zone in the middle, window of tolerance. There's a red zone up above. That's called your sympathetic nervous system. There's a blue zone down below. That's called your parasympathetic nervous system. So we'll come back to the window of tolerance. But what I want you to know is that kind of upper zone and that lower zone. The upper zone is that sympathetic nervous system. I'm just going to call it the SNS. This is fight, flight, freeze, fawn. When people leave their window of tolerance, their state of like stability and neutralization, equilibrium, and they go up to that sympathetic side, that fight, flight, freeze, fawn, or not fawn, but not freeze, fight, flight, the fight, flight side, you will see more tension. You will see more like aggressive behavior, especially in kids, more aggression, more acting outward, loud, obvious. And because it's more of like an up regulation, your body's just tense. It's tight. It's, you know, that you start to develop disease because your system is just like squeezing itself. There needs to be a release. So what are some examples? It could be yelling. Like kids tend to yell and scream when they're in their sympathetic side. Hyperactivity, aggression, adults and kids too. It could be hypervigilance. Hypervigilance is like, you can't let your body rest. Like you're constantly scanning a room or scanning an environment to determine if there's danger. That's not necessarily a bad thing that keeps us safe, but it is not a good thing when you're always on, when you're always hypervigilant. Okay, so think about for a second here. Are you the type of person that kind of goes into that upregulated state, that fight flight state, where your body kind of tenses up and you kind of react or you respond or it's more outward? Or are you a person that kind of falls more down below into what we call the parasympathetic state, the PNS? This is the like rest digest side. So this side's really important because it balances out the other side, but we can get stuck in this state and this side as well. And when we do get stuck in this state or this side, not good either. Because although it's needed for getting back to neutral, if we get stuck here, then we experience more internalized, like downregulated responses. So you would experience more disassociation, procrastination, social withdrawal. These are the kids that I see in school systems that get overlooked. Like, I can tell that there's something going on there. It's not good, but they're not acting out. They're more internalized. So people are overlooking them because they're not causing a huge problem. Versus your sympathetic kiddos, they're letting you know. They are loud about how they're doing. And these aren't conscious choices. This is the nervous system. This is a subconscious, unconscious, like just body reacting, like how the body is built. The body's reacting to stress, to a trigger, to a trauma, to whatever it may be. So pause again and think, are you a person who's more likely to go up the sympathetic side, up to that red area, or down to the blue area and get lodged in that parasympathetic side? Or if you want to even reflect on if you have a classroom and you, or even kids in your home, like which side are your kids more likely to go to? Which side are your students more likely to go to? That said, you could be a person who goes to both. Like, let me give you an example. I am definitely a sympathetic person. Like, I used to have my nervous system tested every 8 to 12 weeks, and I always tested on the sympathetic side. How do you get it tested? You know, there's doctors that can do this. There's testing systems. It's a lot of data around a number collection around breath work and heart rate variability. So we did some like micro tests with breathing and heart rate and things like that. And then they used those numbers to plot me on a graph. And the graph always put me in the sympathetic side. That checks out. Like, I really resonate with fight flight. I really resonate with like being overstimulated, inability to settle, inability to sit still, inability to rest when I'm in a rest state. Like, I'm uncomfortable because I feel like I need to be doing. So, very true for me. That doesn't mean I don't experience a parasympathetic state and I can't fall into that state sometimes. There was a period of my life where I went through a really stressful, like, romantic relationship happening and unfolding and some abuse, and in the like exit of that relationship, I definitely got lodged in the parasympathetic side. Like, there were moments where I was just so overwhelmed that I felt like I couldn't think straight, that I would be like staring into space, that I would be crying, that I would be just procrastinating tiny little things. I didn't feel like I had the energy to get on phone calls, talk to people, return messages, go out. I just didn't feel like I had the energy of it. I was just kind of like internally going in. Here's another like obvious example of this. Went on a trip with a baby outside the country solo and was coming back stateside and was not very close to the States, and went to get the luggage checked in and car seat and stuff. And at the gate, not speaking English, not the gate. I'm not even at the gate. I'm at the check-in counter. And they tell me I can't take the baby because he doesn't have a ticket. And I'm like, doesn't he need a ticket? He's a lap child. They go on to state, not in English, and I'm really struggling to communicate at this point. Can't take the baby. And I'm like starting to panic. And I'm like, okay, breathe, Lauren. What do you need to do next? And just like trying to get to an answer. An hour goes by, 90 minutes go by, and they're like, okay, we can help you. We have to make some calls. Just stand off to the side and wait. More time goes by. And now I'm starting to realize that like I have to go through security. I have to get to the gate. This is a huge airport. I'm worried about missing my flight. And if it were just me, I probably wouldn't panic that much because I'm like, okay, it's just me. Adding a very young child to the mix is a totally different story because now I'm like, do I have enough diapers? Where's he going to sleep? Do I have enough food? Like, there are just so many factors that your mind starts to kind of go in a completely wild and crazy state. So in that moment, I went into a complete parasympathetic state where I just like He fell asleep. I was sitting against the wall and I was just staring. Like I couldn't process. I couldn't think of a next step. I couldn't think. I felt completely helpless and I started to disassociate. Eventually, we barely made the flight, but we did. And then when I got to the gate and I made the flight, I was like, okay, back out of my parasympathetic state. I am back into my window of tolerance. Why does all of this matter? Why am I telling you all of this? It's normal. It's biological to leave that neutralized state and go either up or down or up and down. The issue is when we leave the window of tolerance too regularly or too frequently and we go up or we go down because the system is like a muscle. So when you stay in your neutralized state, that muscle gets stronger, it gets bigger, you stay there more regularly. For someone like me, and you go up into that upper side, sympathetic side, and things in your life keep putting you there, keep putting you there, keep putting you there. But what happens is that side grows and it gets bigger and it's stronger and it takes up more space and it shrinks my window of tolerance, meaning it almost becomes like a stable state for me. Meaning, secondary meaning is that I am quicker to then fall into that zone. Since that zone is bigger, it grew, it took over my window of tolerance, my window of tolerance shrunk. I am far more likely to kind of jump into that sympathetic side, get stuck there, and then just keep growing that side until I enter into a state of awareness that this is happening. And I both reactively and preventatively do things to shrink that side back to the size that it was, or even smaller than it was, and grow and strengthen my window of tolerance. Same with the parasympathetic. If I'm a person who gets stuck down there, it gets stronger the more I stay there. The more I work to get out of it and come back to my window of tolerance, the more my window of tolerance grows, the more neutral I stay. So it's sort of like a, you'd say like learned behavior, but exercised behavior. So all of this is helpful to know because we in the United States, anyhow, we live in a state of chronic stress. Acute stress, normal. Leaving the window of tolerance, going to your sympathetic or parasympathetic side short term, very quickly, and coming right back, that's okay. That's normal. That builds resilience, that builds growth. Animals do that. Like, think of a zebra escaping a lion. They're definitely going to go into the sympathetic side. They're definitely going to take flight and try and escape. Should they escape, which hopefully they do, they return to that window of tolerance. Normal, fine, okay. If a zebra gets chased by a lion every single day, eventually that system is going to deteriorate within the zebra and things are going to start to stop. They are going to stop working as well, the body system. And things are going to deteriorate, cells are going to die off, and that's when like disease and disorder comes into play. And the life longevity of that zebra is going to decrease because they remain in a stressed out state so regularly and so frequently. Hopefully, the zebra will move to a place where, and as like a tribe and cohort of zebras, I don't know what the name of like a group of zebras would be called, they would move somewhere where there aren't lions, or at least for a period of time, they aren't getting essentially eaten. That would be the biological thing, to move away from the thing that's causing you stress, which we should do too. You should move away from the things that take you out of your window of tolerance if you can. Okay, so real quick, we have this window of tolerance. We're happy, we're neutral, we're stable. Naturally, biologically, we leave the window of tolerance. We go up or we go down. We're either tense, tight, outward, or we're internal, dissociative, and disconnected. Or both. We do not want to stay in those states. We do not want to keep entering those states. We want to preventatively work on ways to keep ourselves in the window of tolerance. And when we enter those states, we want to reactively do something to get back to the window of tolerance. This works for adult. This works for kids. Kids, their systems aren't fully developed yet. So it's much easier for them to leave the window of tolerance, which is why sometimes we get kids who are like, oh my gosh, this kid is out of control, or this kid is really challenging. Well, their system isn't developed yet. They need help developing it. As adults, we have somewhat more stabilized systems depending on either your genes or your environment you were raised in. I mean, we can definitely have really disrupted systems as adults, and a lot of people do. Okay, so that's kind of the science behind it, the window tolerance up and down. Now, what can we do both preventatively and reactively to get back into our window of tolerance? Because that's the goal of all of this. Get ourselves, get kids, get everyone back into the window of tolerance as frequently and regularly as we can. We What works for everyone is different, but think about things in opposites. If you're in the upper zone and you're kind of tense or tight, you either want to kind of do something to regulate you down, so like breath work, yoga, a walk, something rhythmic, or you could kind of do something to kind of like physically move through it. Like you might like dance or shake or run or do something that kind of like allows it to come out of your system, like a release of it. So think about mostly in opposites here, like opposite energy. If you are down on the parasympathetic side, what you typically want to do is like something to regulate yourself up, something that is not like quiet, calm, and it's more like active. Like you could also use like dance or running or something like that here, because it's going to get your blood pumping, get oxygen to the brain, and bring you back into the window of tolerance. So typically, when you're in that zone below, like movement, higher activity, like if you're going to do breath work, fast, quick breath, not long and slow like you would if you were in the upper tier. What else is going to keep you in the window of tolerance and get you back? Water, drinking water is regulating. You could do breath work before you're dysregulated, and that will keep you in your window of tolerance. A gratitude practice is going to bring you back into the window of tolerance, but if you do that preventatively before you're dysregulated, it's going to keep you in your window of tolerance. Smiling is going to keep you in your window of tolerance. Being around humans and connecting with humans is going to bring you back into your window of tolerance, even if you feel like you don't have the energy to do it. Putting yourself in a room full of people at a social event might drain you, but connecting with one or a few individuals can definitely help. Reducing blue light. Blue light's going to take you out of your window of tolerance. Overstimulation, noise, going to take you out of your window of tolerance. What's going to bring you back? Mindfulness practices, meditation practices, huma. I wanted to say humor and was thinking yoga and said huma. So humorous yoga, I don't know. Humor, watching things that are funny, being around people who are funny. Yoga, Pilates, like any of those slow moving things. Like as a person myself that tends to go up, what's really good for me is to practice things like meditation, mindfulness, yoga, Pilates. I don't like them because they feel foreign or kind of unnatural to me. It's hard. They're hard. They're uncomfortable, but they're what my body needs. If your body is a little bit uncomfortable with it, note it might be a practice that you need to give some time and adjust to, or maybe it's not, and you just need to try something else. Acupressure, acupuncture, I do those preventatively. Getting into nature, I do that preventatively. Going for hikes, shaking, dancing, moving, I do that preventatively. Sometimes I do it reactively. I mean, the tools are unlimited. Like just think in opposites. What is an opposite energy thing that can get you out of your sympathetic or your parasympathetic side? I mean, I do this with my 18-month-old when I can see he's entered into a sympathetic side, and I know he has because he's ripping around the house, throwing things, yelling, screaming. What I typically do, since he doesn't have the skill set yet, is I co-regulate. I model things that are down-regulating, usually breath work, or we'll like pretend to squeeze lemons, or we'll kind of spin around and dance. I will do those things with him to model regulation. I won't tell him to do them because he can't follow directions at that point. But I do them. I show him how I'm doing them. I include him in it, and he's seeing me, and he's very likely to mimic or model me and then begin to understand when I feel this way, I do this thing. When I do this thing, I feel better. And that's the goal there. So co-regulation. Okay, that is enough nervous system talk. I've done quite a few blog posts, quite a few episodes, podcast episodes on the nervous system. If you're like, I want to know more. It's a Monday and Lauren's brain was all over the place. There are additional episodes on this that you could listen to that would kind of follow this up. And there are also blogs on this that I wrote, but there are also tons of resources online. So you can also search like nervous system regulation or nervous system regulation for kids or window of tolerance or any of Stephen Porges' work. He has something called the polyvagal theory, which basically explains this, the more sciencey stuff behind this. So we're going to stop there, pause, let that sink in and settle in. Just kind of pause and reflect, maybe even stop this episode. And then we're going to today's listener question, which is, what do we do with students or children who have behaviors, but they don't understand what's going on, or we don't even because they're too young? This goes right back to what I was just saying about the 18-month-old. He barely has any words. He does have some kind of understanding, maybe not so much expressive skills, but he does have those more receptive skills. So, what am I doing with him when I see these behaviors, which are normal for a toddler? Because he's too young to really talk through, I just teach him regulation. I model regulation. I begin to basically show him how the nervous system works by labeling things, by modeling things myself, by describing like things in his body, like, oh, you're getting frustrated because you're throwing things. When you're frustrated, we do this. Your body's getting tight, tense, you're angry. Let's do some breathing. I might do like some physical signs to guide him. I might like put my hand on my chest or his chest. I might squeeze him. So when you have kids that don't get it because they're too young, model regulation, briefly talk about what you're seeing, how they're feeling, and what to do next. Don't talk too much because then that becomes overstimulating and too much language for them to process. So start with regulation. To wrap up our show, I'm going to share with you a try-at-home tip. This perfectly relates to regulation and nervous system. Reading for pleasure. I tend to be a person who loves to read nonfiction. I love to read about the brain and the nervous system science. And by reading that kind of material all the time and reading through multiple books at a time keeps me in the sympathetic state because I'm always being stimulated. I'm always being activated. Versus if I read something for pleasure, like children's books or even a pleasurable adult book, that brings me back into the window of tolerance. That allows my system to rest and digest, calm down, slow down. So think about, can you read things that are more pleasure-based and that you just read to enjoy? Which makes it, when I say read for pleasure-based, I don't mean read exotic novels. But if that's your thing, then go for it. But just read for your own enjoyment. Reading children's books with my kiddo has been a huge source of regulation for me because he loves it and it's good for my system. Okay, that's it for today's episode of Returning to Us podcast. Don't forget our try it at home tip, reading for enjoyment. If you are looking for more support in the areas of stress, trauma, behavior, or the brain, whether it's in the home or in a school system, reach out to me through the Behavior Hub. I do some amazing and really fun coaching for families and also for schools. And there's some coursework you could potentially do as well to learn more and get university credit for. You can also shoot me a text, 717-693-7744. And if you're thinking about this type of work at like more of an organizational level, like the whole organizational overhaul to prevent burnout and increase productivity and improve and change company culture and integrate more like nervous system, brain-based, trauma-informed practices, check out Five Ives, FiveIves. It's an organization I started with a partner, Jessica Doring, where we go into companies and schools and programs, and we do a lot of coaching and certification, even like for a trauma-informed stamp, to really change the way that people inside of an organization function to make them healthy, to increase their healthiness and their overall well-being. All right, that's it for today. What I highly encourage you to do is kind of like sit with this information and then reteach it to somebody else. If you reteach the window of tolerance with the sympathetic and parasympathetic side, even reteaching it to someone else is going to help you store it, remember it, utilize it. Until next episode, I'm Lauren Spiegelmeyer and thanks for joining me.
Thank you.